recorded live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we try to make e-discovery topics accessible to anywhere, to anyone anywhere for a price they can afford free via the internet. My name is Carl Shinneman. I'm with Jurnov, and I'm pleased to have a really interesting show today. We have as our guest Sherry Harris, who's an e-discovery advisor with over 30 years of experience, all at Hunton and Williams. It's an AmLaw 100 firm based in you're based in Richmond, Virginia, correct?
That's correct. That's where our home office is.
Okay, and Sherry leads the firm-wide e-discovery team of approximately 100 personnel, including developing, implementing, and executing e-discovery best practices and protocol. She oversees all the educational programs in e-discovery. She's also one of the charter members of the Sedona Conference. It seems to be a lot of these initial speakers we've had on ESI Bytes. A substantial number of presentations and articles, just like everyone else that's been on ESI Bytes. Sherry, we're thrilled to have you here talking about sort of collection methodologies. So before we start, let's talk briefly about how did you get interested in the e-discovery world?
Well, Carl, it happened kind of naturally. As you mentioned, I've been at Hunton & Williams for a good many years now, and so I've grown up with technology in the workplace. I was one of the first users of PCs when they entered the marketplace here and just always challenged technology and pushed the envelope a little bit. So I've learned about it in the workplace, and as I tell many people, I've been doing e-discovery before e-discovery was cool. Electronic files have been around even before PCs, and when discovery involved anything that was electronic, we knew that we had to collect it in some manner, depending on how technology allowed us to do it in that day, and make it available to the other side and to ourselves for representation of our clients.
Okay, well, that's I like the concept that e-discovery is cool now. So
now, the latest buzzword, that's for sure.
Well, you gave a presentation at Georgetown last year where you paralleled the identification and collection of discovery materials in e-discovery to the old paper world. Can you describe this process to us and sort of describe the how you view it today?
Sure. Basically, the presentation at Georgetown was how to control cost in small stakes litigation, because often the cost of electronic discovery can surpass the amount of controversy in smaller stakes matters. But we've applied this practice even in very large stake litigation in a collaborative manner with opposing counsel. And if everyone understands it and wraps their arms around it well, it really is a very effective way to get to the most meaningful documents and to the heart of the issues. The basic principles are very much parallel to paper universe. We've always had paper document collections and discovery, and when you do that, you want to explore the key players' universe of documents. So you look in their office and their extraneous files, files they may have carried home or keep in the trunk of their car or in the garage, things like central departmental files or files that may be maintained by their assistant, files for which they would be responsible that are maintained in off-site storage areas, and even dead storage areas that people have long forgotten about that are not active off-site storage areas. This very closely parallels with the electronic universe we found, because the custodian's office files are very much like their computer files, what's on their hard drive. Their hard drive very closely parallels their paper office files. And their extraneous files very closely parallel what might be on their home computer, on their PDA, or any portable media like CDs, DVDs, diskettes, or things like that. The files maintained by the assistant in the central office files are very much like what might be contained in their document management system or out on network group shares that they use to collaborate with their coworkers. The offsite storage warehouse very closely parallels the backup tape recycling and any other collection or repositories of backup tapes that their IT group may have. And then the dead storage, the long-forgotten spider-infested sheds and warehouses, closely parallel what we found in many of our clients' universes, just boxes and boxes of old backup tapes, often on media that is no longer easy to mount and review. The goal is, again, like I said, to review the custodian's universe of electronic files. And in doing so, you have a very interactive interview process with the custodian, which is critical in all situations, as recently pointed out by Magistrate Judge Andrew Peck in his opinion of March 19, 2009, in the gross construction matter. Many people have already been quoting the opening paragraph of that opinion, but to me, the most important part when he says it should serve as a wake-up call to the bar about the careful thought that should be given in designing search terms or keywords, he warned, where using keyword searches, counsel must at a minimum craft the keywords with input from the electronically stored information's custodian as to words and abbreviations they use. So I think the most important part there is the fact that he has put emphasis on obtaining input from the custodian of the electronic records. And very often, I think, in particularly in large stake litigation, folks will go out and get entire hard drives, entire mailboxes, and areas off of network shares, and run what they think is a carefully crafted set of keyword searches across them without input from each of the individual custodians. And my personal experience has proven that that's not necessarily the best way to do it, because in every industry, and often even particular to each individual, they may use acronyms and abbreviations about which the counsel are not aware. So obtaining the custodial input is very, very important.
So this is really, I mean, you almost take the labels off and you treat it like it's a paper case at the beginning of really getting your arms around particular custodians.
Right. You're just looking at technology resources. And we've also started doing this remotely. You don't have to be desk side with a custodian to do it. You can, with, you know, the magic of live meeting, set up a live meeting within seconds with a custodian. As long as they're logged into the entity's network using their username and password on their entity-issued computer, you then have them share their desktop out and navigate through a very set, systematic process through their electronic universe. And we have boiled this down to a very detailed checklist that's several pages long, and we have a systematic process that we follow from beginning to end, so we can later say with good faith that we had a process in place that was followed with every single custodian without exception from beginning to end. When you first start this, naturally, every custodian wants to say, well, everything's in my email. We need to look at that. But I go to email last, quite frankly, and we start out looking at a custodian's desktop for any folders, files, or shortcuts they have on their desktop to electronically stored information that may be potentially relevant to the particular matter we're discussing with them. And then we go on to my computer, look at all the network shares that they're mapped to, all their network group shares, including their personal network share, and explore with them all those areas in as much detail as we need to, with their full understanding of the types of documents we're looking for and their knowledge, which we don't have, of their record storing procedures over time, and drill down to the lowest possible level in terms of folders and subfolders where we might find potentially relevant information. After we cover all their network shares, we then move to their hard drive and follow the same process with their hard drive and look closely for offline email stores during that process as well. Many custodians don't realize that they have old email stores that are no longer loaded up in their current email system. So we very carefully look for those as well by looking in all the suspect areas where those would be stored with the application data, but by also running some searches for extensions to find whatever offline email stores they might have. After we cover their network share universe and their hard drive, we then move on to their email and in very much detail go through all their open email stores and later open any that we found offline that might not be currently visible in their email system. Again, the goal is to drill down as far as possible to identify potentially relevant information. We all know how we manage our email, and we all know that we have sometimes tens of thousands of emails, but very often they're fairly well organized by subject matter. And you may have as many as hundreds of folders and very complex foldering structure. If we become involved in litigation and talk to the custodians, we learn very quickly that the majority of those folders have nothing to do with the matter we're discussing with them at that time, and their confidence level is usually very high that we will not find anything relevant in a large number of the folders. So identifying the folders is important. Just like you would go through their desk and office paper files with them to go through and pull out the folders and binders that may relate to the matter you're discussing with them. So it's very, very similar to the paper process, pulling only the relevant folders and binders instead of just blindly applying keywords to the process.
It almost seems like you're auditing, you know, having spent a little bit of time in a public accounting firm, checking off steps so that down the road you can sort of defend the audit. Is that sort of the way you, part of the way you look at this?
That's precisely the way we look at it, yes, which makes the checklist very important in the process to ensure that you follow it to a T. In addition, as we go through the process, we take screen snapshots and paste them into a Word document. Sometimes I can end up with as many as a couple of hundred screen snapshots from a custodial interview, from a e-scoping, as I call it, to scope the custodian's electronic universe. And we take screen snapshots every step of the process, not just where we find things, but where we don't find things as well, so that later not only can we refer back to that without bothering the custodian again, but we can also use it to prove the process, to show that we did what we say we did, and offer. And the interview is also followed up with a detailed interview memo. So with the checklist, the screen snapshots, and the interview memo to memorialize the process, if it's ever challenged in the future, we can explain and prove exactly what we did and the detail that we went to. And it's a very transparent, auditable, cooperative process where to show that we made a reasonable good faith effort to find everything in that custodian's electronic universe. I've even had people come to depositions after we've done an e-scoping of them, and the other side naturally will inquire what they did to locate and provide documents to counsel for discovery. The custodian begins to explain that some crazy lady went through every single file on their hard drive and every network share that they were mapped to and all their email and actually helped them find things that they didn't know existed anymore. And it very quickly sits the other side down because they know we've done our homework and we've done what we should do.
A benefit of litigation, organization. Jim Michaelitz would be proud of the records management benefit of litigation.
Right, and every custodian is different. There's no question that every once in a while you'll run across the poor records manager, and you have to come up with an alternate approach for certain individuals. If you find that they have all their sent mail for the last 3 years in one folder in a PST file, then obviously you're not going to take that entire folder because it's going to have 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 messages in it, and you don't want that because the vast majority of them will be totally irrelevant. So you may have to find, explore alternate approaches with certain custodians. But after doing this with hundreds of custodians over many years, I have found that the majority of custodians really do organize their files fairly well. That's their business. And if they don't keep their files organized, they can't find what they need when they need it. So they do it as a matter of business practice for the most part.
Well, with all this talk, the Trial Academy just released a paper last month about the concern about discovery. And Sedona's been working very hard on this collaboration proclamation. Do you do this drill down and interviewing in detail and complete it before your meet and confer process starts, or do some of it and then meet with the other side and figure out scope at that point? I mean, how do you work with the other side and this process? Where does this fit in?
It fits in where you need it. It fits in where the lawyers need to find documents for the litigation. If they're in the initial work product fact-finding process, before the meet and confer and before discovery requests have been served, they still need to find the most relevant documents. And perfect example, I was involved in some commercial litigation with one of our Fortune 50 clients. It was a case in Florida with our Miami office. And the lawyers thought that if they found the most important documents right away, they would be able to dispose of the matter short of discovery and save the client a lot of money, of course. The lawyers, however, did not originally grasp the concept of e-scoping the custodians and insisted that we just run keywords across their email stores and their hard drives. Finally, I acquiesced, and we did that, but the volume that was returned was so great, it was prohibitive to processing and reviewing in the time frame that they had. So I finally convinced them to take 2 hours of time and e-scope the three key custodians. Once we did that, we very quickly drilled down to the critical documents that were needed, including some that did not hit on the keyword searches because in that instance, the custodians actually were using acronyms that the lawyers were not aware of. We gathered a very, very small amount of documents and were able to dispose of the litigation in only a few weeks, well before the meet and confer and discovery process. The cost savings And that was the example I used in the Georgetown presentation when I showed a cost comparison for the same custodian. The keyword searching approach would have cost nearly $20,000 to process and review just in the fact-finding process. That was before we got into discovery. And after we did the e-scoping, we accomplished the collection, processing, and review for about $1,200, way, way under what it would have cost. And in the email from the associate to the partner, I used a quote that he wrote. He said, "It seems that through e-scoping, we have reduced the cost per custodian substantially. May we have permission to process these custodians and see what we get? Our filing date is 2 weeks away." The end result, like I mentioned in that, was that it resulted in identification of an email folder not hit by the keywords with directly relevant materials, which they used in that two-week briefing process to completely dispose of the matter pre-discovery. So, yes, it's effective in discovery to respond to discovery requests, but it can also be effective in in any other situation where you need to find important documents. There's no exchange for looking at your client's documents and talking to your client about them. In the process of interviewing the custodian, we also go into other detail with them. We inquire how long they've had the current computer that's been issued to them by the company, and if they had other computers during the relevant time period, we'll explore with their IT group where those computers may be. We also explore whether they have or use more than one entity-issued computer, which is sometimes the case. They may have a desktop and a laptop, and we'd have to scope both of those. They may use a central computer located in a lab or a central departmental area that's shared by folks. We also look to see if there are profiles of other users on their hard drive, if the laptop or desktop has been redeployed and another custodian had it, we'll have to go into that custodian's profile and documents on there. We talk to them about their PDA, their use of a home computer, any old backups that may exist from their hard drive on portable media, and whether they use jump drives and things like that for business purposes. So we go beyond the electronic universe, even that we can see in the e-scoping, to make sure that we leave no stone uncovered in the process.
Well, that really seems to be a practical way to approach this. There still are today clients that will go grab every piece of electronic data they can find from a potentially relevant custodian and dump it into something and start looking. So your experience has been taking some effort and some thinking up front and some investigating is more cost effective than just data dumping and searching.
Right. And it's also not only much more cost effective, but it's a more meaningful, defensible process. And we've seen some cases come out, U.S. v. O'Keefe, Victor Stanley, and then the Gross Construction case I mentioned, just to mention a few, where judges are questioning the use of keyword searches and their effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So simply running keywords without if you're going to use keywords and you have to use it for certain custodians, it needs to be a very, very iterative process. But we have found this to be very reliable and efficient.
Well, Sherry, are there any other potential minefields to avoid because electronically stored information is very unlike paper?
Yes, there are minefields to be avoided. I guess one thing I should have mentioned up front is that when we do this, we view preservation and collection as two very distinct steps in the process. Even when we do this, we preserve very broadly. You cast a wide net. And if you preserve well, you can always go back to the preservation universe if the issues change or you miss something in this process. So, yes, there are minefields. There always will be. There were minefields in the paper world. And that is why we preserve broadly, but then try to focus our collection on the electronically stored information that's relevant to the matter we're discussing, just like you do in the paper world, and calculate to lead to the discovery of visible evidence. Again, comparing it to the paper universe, you talk about a warehouse of boxes with 60,000 boxes. Very rarely does anyone go to the extreme of pouring over every piece of paper in all 60,000 boxes. You come up with some logical manner to approach it to narrow the universe of boxes that you need to go through. And this is exactly what this process does with electronically stored information. You have a network share, group share that's, could be terabytes large, and never would anyone think it reasonable to go through every single file in that network share. So what you do is you come up with a logical approach to narrow it down to just the folders aka boxes, that you need to go through?
We're sort of near the end here, but I want to touch a little bit more on email, because I found it interesting that you said you don't start with the email, you do it last. And when people talk about electronically stored information, invariably everyone seems to focus on email, because these are your best smoking guns. Do you have any other tips with working with email once you start tackling it?
Not really. You are correct that everyone focuses on email. I recently received a call from one of our lawyers. He was running into a few obstacles with a client. The client wanted to do their document discovery only in email, and only in active email on the Exchange server, because they thought that's where everything was going to be. If you go through an electronic scoping process, you very quickly learn that there is a lot of electronically stored information in other places besides the active email stores on the company servers. Like I mentioned, there's offline email stores that people have that they don't even realize they have anymore. But sometimes when an employee who's left the business, their email will be made available to a custodian from a network group share and just left there to sit for a period of time so that folks can get back to it and refer to it for historical business purposes if they need to. And there's just a lot more information out there than email sitting on hard drives and network shares. Yes, there's a lot in email, but a lot of our meaningful documents come from other locations as well.
Okay, and now looking out into the future, Sherry, what are your predictions for any future improvements in the collection field of e-discovery?
Well, I think that certainly much more use will be made of search and retrieval technologies and the tools used for concept-based searching and review, clustering, things like that. They're already much more readily available in review tools than they were just a couple of years back. So I see a large growth in that area.
Well, that's nice to hear, since that's my focus. But anyway, well, this is great. Sherry, I really appreciate you joining us here on an ESI Bytes show. I think this has been very useful. I can think of a couple of clients that I'm approaching and talking to that possibly would have benefited from this. Actually, I should say potential clients. This is very useful. I hope to have you on some future shows.
Yeah, I would like that. Thanks for having me, Carl. And if you ever need anything, just feel free to give me a call.
Okay, you've listened to another edition of ESI Bytes. If you found the show interesting and want to find other podcasts on electronically discovery, you could go to www.esibytes.com. You could also email me at kas@jurinov, JURINNOV. Our goal here is for people to learn from ESI Bytes before eDiscovery bites you back. Thanks a lot, Sherry, and have a nice day.
You too.